Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
Sofa King. No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am. Sofa King. With retard.
You say funny things.
What's going on, guys?
You look really confused over there.
I was just looking at the... I was trying to find out if any more people other than Tyler Wouters and Josh Haney bumped their Patreon up.
It's Wouters, but...
You say potato, I say Wouters.
Yeah. I love a baked Wouters.
Yeah. Super good. Put a little sour cream on there, some cheese, some chives, a little El Yucateco.
There's a shout out right there.
Damn. It's nice. Good.
You worked it all.
I know another Tyler that might draw a picture of that.
Yeah. I don't even.
Baked Wouters.
Yeah.
baked Wouters. You have a little shop for them. That might be good.
Wouter like, Tots.
Wouter Tots.
Yeah.
Pretty nice. So, yeah, just shout out. Thank you to all the patrons, actually. And thank you to Josh and Tyler. I figured give them a little shout out. They bumped up their standings to the highest level.
We appreciate patronism.
And I am trying to ship out the next secret gift, but lightning struck someone's server. I'll just say that. Not our server, someone else's server. Like if there's a guy that's trying to stop that shit from happening, I'm trying really hard, I promise. It's out of my hands.
Hey, you're dressed fancy today.
I am dressed fancy today.
Yeah. Who died?
No, I bought this shirt at a hardware store. I just like it. It's pretty fancy.
No, it's got good. The Western cut.
I only wear the Western cut. That's what I do. All my Pendletons and whatnot. But I figured out it's a hack because this is like $23 and it's Wrangler and a Pendleton is $120. So I can get quite a few of these guys.
Those are made in China, though.
Fuck, I'm going to have to check this shit out.
I will set this shit down
if it's made in China. I really will. I won't wear it again.
Well, at least you have SK Ultra shirt on.
You just took the shirt off his back.
He's literally stripping.
He's actually
down.
No, I'm like Superman. There's always an SK Ultra shirt under there.
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, man, please don't be. I got mixed feelings. It's Bangladesh. How do I feel about that? Yeah. Little hands made this for sure, though.
Yeah.
We'll
that's how they got them here. Tiny stitchings.
Yeah. Put it over there.
He's like, yeah, it's a really nice shirt. He found out a hack. Yeah.
Damn it. I knew there was a glitch. That's why it's so expensive, because they're made in America. Not all of them. The cheaper ones aren't, but I won't buy those. Damn it. Well, it worked out. I wore it to a wedding. It worked out.
Going back to the Patreon, we will be at the end of the episode sharing secrets to people who are this week's patrons. So stick around after everything's done if you're one of them. Otherwise, you'll turn off at that point. We trust you to do it, and then we'll tell some secrets.
That's a weird feeling. Some of the people weren't honest last week. Like,
what do you mean?
I feel like they listened.
No.
Yeah, there were some posts.
I trust them.
A lot of lotion talk. Mm.
They probably all just know the patron, so they heard what like the patrons told them, and then they got.
I guess if you're the patron that received the secret, that's up to you if you want to tell the secret.
Right,
so
that's right.
If you talk about calamine lotion, that's up to you.
Bitches.
So what's our hot sex situation?
So last week, Zachary Kirby won with his, what was it? What was the music? Damn it.
I would do anything for love.
No, I don't know.
It was something like that.
It was awesome.
A kitchen cabinet.
Yeah.
And although he's not the winner, we're going to spend some time talking about him for a second. He did the like the psycho shower scene with Tekko this time, but he's not allowed to win.
Because he just won.
Yeah, because it's not fair. But finally, he stepped aside to let a talented photographer, Terry Presley's time has finally come. He's had some pictures that were like, I wanted it to win, but he was just getting edged out just barely. He's taken some really cool pictures in the last challenges. And this time, it's like, I don't know, it's like something from a magazine cover. It's really good. The perspective, it's like fisheye or something, but he's eating a bowl of Cheerios with red Tekko all over it, and he's got a pint of beer and a glass of whiskey.
So his name's Harry Chestry?
Harry Chestry. It is Harry Chestry.
Well, yes. Tyler did have a little bit of hair on his chest.
He did. He had a little
Wolf Manny patch.
That rug really tied the room together.
His name's not Tyler. His name is Zach. You're horrible with names. You're bouncing all over the place. I'm really confused. I'm confused, and I know who won.
Tyler won.
No.
Tyler Wouters. Good job, Tyler. You just won a hot sack.
It's just a picture of Brad's hot sack, though. No, Terry Presley won. Zach Kirby has a Robin Williams chest mat of hair.
Robin Williams chest mat of hair.
He looks like a doormat.
I told you, it really ties the room together.
You should just, I want you to shave welcome on it. So it's like you just lay down on my porch, Zach.
I was laughing.
Yeah, I could tell.
I was going to say to cut it in a heart shape like Austin Powers.
The sky's the limit. He could carve all kinds of shit out of that.
Yeah, he could.
Yeah.
Cut some lines in it. Yeah.
And we do have to do some whiskey, too.
Yes. So, Seth Ager or Auger.
Did we have this already? No. Another Brickway?
He's trying to make up for that nasty-ass cinnamon shit he sent us. So, he has sent us a new bottle of
this
Brickway.
This shit better be good.
And the label also looks sketchy right there. Is that just supposed to be distressed bricks?
These are old glasses.
Old glass. Just keep your old glass by you and it's not a problem.
I take mine up and wash them.
You do not.
I do too.
Then there wouldn't be 15 glasses in front of you.
I carry mine up and I wash them out and I put them in the thing.
I have yet to find any clean glasses.
I have seen it.
Yeah.
Those are probably all my glasses.
Yeah, well, Brad's guilty of something.
I take my coffee mug. I always take my coffee mug upstairs, but I never take my whiskey glasses.
Yeah, you got to catch me first.
All right. Okay. So, anyways, he sent us some whiskey to make up for that horrible cinnamon fucking shit.
So, this is Brickway single malt.
Setting on the banishment shelf.
Whiskey.
Twist cap. Yep.
I'm grabbing any glass I can because I don't give a fuck. I'm scared.
All right. Who sent this? Tyler?
No. Seth Ager. Auger.
Oh, that's right. Egar. That's a rye whiskey. That's good. It's not bad. I'm not super into ryes.
There's a unique taste though. Right after, like I couldn't quite make it out.
Like a caramely taste going on, and right before it gets spicy.
Yeah, it does get spicy. Yep.
You're really fascinated by that.
I was trying to read. It says aged for a minimum of 1 year.
Ooh.
Never had a 1 year. It doesn't say. 12 months, boys. Raise the price.
Minimum of 1 year, maximum 18 months.
Yeah, we're somewhere in that range. It's good though. I was a fan of the Brickway bourbon, and I'm a fan of this one.
He has redeemed himself. Yeah,
the bourbon's a lot better.
Yeah,
but the rye, that's good. I'm just not, ryes aren't my thing. Not a rye guy.
Yeah, from Omaha. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be damned.
Sure. It's from Oklahoma.
Yep. Speaking of Oklahoma.
Thank you, Tyler. That was a good whiskey.
That was. Thank you, Tyler. So our topic today, this is one that people have asked for quite a while, and they've wanted to hear the details of Timothy.
Have they?
Yeah, I've gotten a ton of like Instagram chatter, people posting. I mean, it hasn't. I don't know if it's on the current like official, unofficial voted list, but I've had a lot of people ask me about Timothy Leary.
I didn't know who he was.
Do you now?
No. I forgot his name.
Already. Well, here's the thing. So I knew he had something to do with the 60s. I knew he did something with LSD, some kind of experiment, and that he was a counterculture guy, but I didn't really know many details.
Didn't we talk about him in an episode before? You mentioned his name from an article or something. They were doing those the tests and the psycho.
Yeah, I think we talked about him when we talked about MJ-12. Or I mean, when we talked about MK Ultra,
yeah.
MJ-12 is a
Brit different. Is just falling apart.
What is MJ-12?
What is MJ-12? Oh, Jesus.
Can't hang out with you guys anymore.
You consider yourself a conspirator?
I don't.
Then you don't know what MJ-12 is? Majority 12?
No. Oh, is that what it is? I thought it was Michael Jackson, no. 2012.
You don't know what MJ-12 is? Mm-hmm. MJ-12.
Here's the deal.
You keep saying MJ-12 and it doesn't help us understand anything.
If I was a professional food taster, you could lay a fine plate of food in front of me and I would enjoy it. And I consider myself the same with conspiracies, man. I haven't had it all. I don't know it all, but I will go ahead and entertain the fucking concept of it.
Dale Earnhardt with us again today.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for showing up.
I need a different name though.
So
I like that one.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, it's not the
dead,
MJ-12.
Just to make sure it's not Dale Earnhardt Jr. This is Dale Earnhardt, the dead one that's showing up with us today.
Right.
Yeah. Cale Bernhardt.
Yeah, Cale Bernhardt.
the slightly
Cale Heartburn.
Yeah.
Heart Cale Heartburn Hart. That's your name.
Junior. What's it?
You writing that down?
No. I'm writing down MK Ultra. I don't know why.
No, oh, that's
so I don't strange. Say MJ-12 again, I guess.
Oh, okay.
But no, we talked about Timothy Leary when you get in, because people really in the 60s, LSD was being, there were two sort of fronts of research on LSD and psychotropic drugs. Mm-hmm. One aspect was the military aspect, which feeds directly into MK Ultra, the different things that we've talked about. And I promise you that Timothy Leary's research went, I promise you MK Ultra got in touch with his research. If not, they funded it without anyone knowing that they funded it. Because right. as soon as he was saying, I'm at Harvard and I'm experimenting with LSD, I promise you they were giving out grants based on what. And if you didn't listen to our show.
Because that's what they were doing.
That's what they were doing. Yeah. They were funding academic programs all around that were looking at mind control, mind alteration, et cetera. So he was either, I mean, I'm not going to fully, you know, double down and say, yes, he was funded by MK Ultra, but I promise you they got his research and looked at it.
Dollars changed hands for sure.
The other side was the academic side where they were just doing like research into the consciousness and, you know, mind altering substances yeah. and so forth. And this is what Timothy Leary is the most famous for is his studies on that. So looking at his background, he didn't. And again, I've had people say, you know, you could like use your serial killer cult leader boxes for like anyone you talk about, but you can't because his background isn't serial killer. Like you look at his background, he was raised with, you know, normal parents.
This guy's a hippie.
The guy's a hippie.
Yeah, he's a hippie.
Irish Catholic household, nothing crazy going on. Apparently he went to Holy Cross College, West Point, and then the University of Alabama. And apparently he got scolded for being a discipline problem at all of those schools, which makes sense later because he's a discipline problem for the rest of his life.
He got in trouble by the Honor Society or something at West Point for not saying that he was drunk when he was drunk. Like, if he would have admitted to it, he would have been okay, I guess. I don't know.
That's weird.
Or they would have kicked him out.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it's like if you it's probably just that whole honor. It's like if you get summoned to Congress, like they want to like persecute baseball players for saying they went on to Congress and said, no, I didn't do performance enhancing drugs.
Right.
It wasn't that they did anything illegal by doing the drugs, but they did something illegal by testifying to Congress that they didn't do any drugs.
Yeah, maybe he could have honorably resigned from West Point.
Or he could have just said, I was drunk. Yeah. But since he said he wasn't under oath, that might have been what got him kicked out.
Either way,
kind of doesn't get he was drunk and he was at West Point. So finally, he graduates from the University of Alabama in 1943 with a degree in psychology. And then he graduated from the University of California, Berkeley, in 1950 with a PhD in psychology. And I do need to stop for a moment and talk about one-star reviews, because I saw like in one article why the dates always get fucked up on things. So I was reading Harvard's website, like the Harvard biography of Timothy Leary. Mm-hmm. And it said, and here's a direct quote from the website, with a PhD in psychology from Stanford University, he came as an assistant professor. In the early part of his career, blah, 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 he received a PhD in psychology from Berkeley University.
It said Stanford.
It said Stanford first and then said Berkeley second. Mm-hmm. So welcome to the one-star review.
They just have Ivy League hotkeys on the button. It's like a 10 key of the top 10 columns.
Yeah, control S.
Yeah, control S, yep.
Right. Yeah, control B. They're right next to each other.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, so he got his, and then I was like paranoid. And I was like, well, what the fuck? Where did he get his PhD from? So I had to look at other sources, but it was Berkeley. And he ends up having a career there. He's a professor there until 1955. He publishes a big book in 1957.
Did he also get a degree from Washington State, though? Because I have that in my notes.
That was a control W.
That was a control. No, he went to the University of Alabama.
1946, yeah, Alabama, I knew he about. Receives his MS degree in psychology at Washington State University.
Oh, that's entirely possible.
That's
I
multiple.
Guess nobody gives a shit about his master's.
Yeah, he doesn't care about his degree in multiple sclerosis. That's not important. It has nothing to do with drug trials.
That's true.
It sort of does. But,
So in the middle of all this, so very strange, his it gets strange later. It's not strange yet. It's just kind of sad. But he has a hard time when he's at Berkeley because in 1955, his wife, Marianne, killed herself.
Is that her last name?
No. Her last name was Leary.
Oh, she killed herself.
She killed herself.
Oh, I thought her name was Marianne Killed Herself.
No.
I was like, that's a crazy ass
well,
last name.
If that was her maiden name, then it was predictive. But she killed herself. And so he's like in his late 30s. He's got two kids. He's, you know, trying to be a professor.
She like blamed him too. Like the note was like, thanks, you've ruined your kids' lives and you killed me.
And he hasn't even, like, he hasn't done all his fucked up shit yet either. Uh-huh. Like, this, he's still just seemingly a normal guy.
Well, and he's as far as the story goes.
Right. As far as the story goes.
Don't really know.
And he's got a degree in psychology.
This is somebody you don't want to be around because later in life, his daughter kills herself.
Exactly.
Like, I don't want to
be his daughter from that mother. Like, he's kind of like Angela Lansbury in Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
Like, if you know him, you're going to kill yourself.
That sucks.
Yeah. Or not. A lot of people didn't.
I remember She Wrote, but I don't know how that reference works.
You remember She Wrote?
I remember She Wrote.
Because every episode was about like some old friend of hers who just got murdered.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's like you were just, you don't want to be Jessica Fletcher. That was her name's friend.
Damn.
Jessica Fletcher.
A couple years on us. Just enough to make
you never watched
relevant.
Murder, She Wrote?
I remember like the beginning. I can see her, but I bet if I heard the theme music, I would know.
My mom loved that shit. So
she stole the whole series at Walmart. They had it on VHS
every season. She stole the season pack.
Yeah. She stuffed them in her
calendar.
They were watching it during Thanksgiving dinner. Just Murder, She Wrote episodes.
I just had a really horrible memory. Like a really horrible memory.
Well, maybe you can tell it as a secret in the show.
Let me make a note of that.
This is great.
Yikes. I'm kind of worried about what the fuck it is.
Okay. So this will be a secret.
It says Uncle Broomstick Butthurt. That's all I can read from right here. Yikes.
Okay. Anyway, so again, he's...
that was another secret.
Timothy Leary is pretty big in the field. He's like the director of the Kaiser Foundation Hospital, like when Kaiser Permanente was first starting.
He helped found that.
Yeah, he helped found it. And then he ends up going to Harvard.
Where was it at?
L.A., I want to say.
They found Kaiser in L.A.?
That's where they found him.
It's crazy.
Yeah. He was buried. But they found the Kaiser in L.A., and then he worked for him. And then – so, I mean, his career is pretty fucking distinguished. I mean, in general, most people don't get hired at the school they just got a degree from unless they're the shit.
Yeah.
They get shopped out somewhere else. But they hired him right away at Berkeley, which is not a small task. Yeah. Then he goes straight to Harvard, and he starts working there.
I watched a thing on him where another doctor was talking about him, and he said that his – he was super smart. Like, he was a super smart guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, all the accounts are that he was really fucking bright, but he starts to, and obviously, I mean, when you start to see like the level of fame that he gets, I mean, he had to be bright and charismatic or he wouldn't have been able to pull off what he ends up pulling off. So apparently, he goes to Harvard and he takes a trip to Cuernavaca, Mexico,
mm-hmm.
And while he's there, like you do, he trips on mushrooms.
Yeah.
Like, what else are you going to do?
I think he went there with that intent.
I think he might have.
With his colleague, one colleague.
For sure, yeah. They probably knew about it.
Yeah. So he goes down there, and he trips on mushrooms, and he comes back, and he talks to a colleague named Richard Alpert, who comes up later on, who they end up having a very strange bond together. And they start doing research, psilocybin. So they start the Harvard Psilocybin Project, which is the active drug in psychedelic mushrooms.
He was also quoted to say that he learned more in 5 hours on a mushroom trip than he had learned collectively in 15 years of research in psychology, as far as how the human brain worked. Like, it was that enlightening of an experience to him. And I have to say, my buddy Trent went to Amsterdam and did mushrooms of the Mexican variety. Actually, that was the type that he tried. And that is a life-changing experience. It's a really weird thing. Like, it's not the fact that he saw like weird things. Like, it's not what you think. Like, it's not melting buildings and cartoons all over. It's just a twist on perspective, like size and frame of reference and amplitude of sound. Like, things got apparently really weird for that guy, Trent. Did they? Yeah. And it was a... Trent would like to do it again, but I heard Trent has kids and cannot find the correct setting in which it would be a safe environment that he's not worried that one of his kids would break their leg or some shit and then he'd be tripping at a hospital.
Tell Trent he just needs to do a day trip to Disneyland.
I don't know. Trent's comfortable.
Yeah.
If Trent's comfortable with that.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people.
My buddy Bradley would probably be punching kids.
Yeah. I know a lot of people
freaking out.
Who have done LSD and gone to fucking Disneyland. Yeah.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Get off the ride. Shit. Swimming and shit. One of those cannonballs.
They're shooting at us.
Do not go to the fucking haunted house. Because that shit's going to be bad.
He's fucking, you fly over the fucking rail.
Yeah,
exactly. Fucking three-story drop and fucking kill yourself.
And did we in any of our previous episodes did we talk about like the guy who came up with LSD?
No,
I don't think
I want to say we didn't because I wanted to look into it because I didn't know how long LSD had been around because obviously it couldn't have been that well established if this was the first time people were researching it.
I did accidentally watch a 45-minute documentary about the man who made LSD because it said Timothy Leary and then it never fucking happened until the end. It was like in the 60s movement.
So he's looking at the mushrooms and then he starts looking primarily at LSD and the mushrooms. And then he also looks a little bit at DMT, but I wanted to look into LSD and there was a chemist named Albert Hoffman. And he was this is the way most modern pharmaceuticals work. He was studying a type of fungus that had mind altering properties.
They were trying to get rid of nighttime headaches or something silly. Yeah.
But he synthesized the chemical compounds that were in the mushroom.
Right.
And this is what if you look at aspirin, it's a synthesized version of what's in willow bark. I mean, this is like the way modern pharmaceuticals work. So he does this and apparently he worked for a pharmaceutical company called Sandoz. I don't know if they're still around, but that was in 1938 and in 1943 and they basically told him to scrap it. It's not worth it, whatever, but he was fascinated by it. And then in 1943, he synthesized it again. And he accidentally touched it and got high. And he said that it was a not unpleasant, intoxicated-like condition. And then the fucker was hooked. So he started making it on purpose.
He's a drug addict.
And a few days later, he experimented with taking what he thought was a small dose of LSD.
Yeah.
And it was 250 micrograms. And it says that a common dose for anybody right now would be 100 micrograms. He took 2.5 hits. And he wrote about it in a book called LSD, My Problem Child, that he wrote years later. But
he said it was a horrifying experience. That first one was just a bad trip.
That when he took the 250, he probably went to Disneyland.
There's nothing you can do to get off that ride either.
No,
I was surprised that I looked up what LSD, I never knew what LSD stood for. And I was surprised it was limited slip differential. I was like, oh, yeah, I know what that is this whole time.
I think that's a different LSD.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yep.
You sure?
Yes.
Let me look again.
I think it's I don't remember what, lysergic.
I'm not trying to fake one because I got nothing.
I know it starts with lysergic. That's all
lysergic
I know.
Lysergic acid dithalamide.
There you go. all those fucking dithalamides. But anyway, so he and Alpert, Timothy Leary and Alpert, start looking into all this shit, and they start doing pretty crazy stuff at Harvard, which again ties back to this MK Ultra stuff. Like, they were just getting away with shit that right now you could never get away with. But they were administering drugs to prison inmates, other researchers, and a group of divinity students who, he said, later showed that, quote, spiritual ecstasy, religious revelation, and union with God were now directly accessible.
Yeah, they were trying to see if you could rehabilitate prisoners, and they did it on, like, I don't know, I said 36 of the prisoners that they had conducted the controlled experiments on said that they would never commit a crime again and, like, I don't know, found God and spirituality.
Of course they're going to say that.
Yeah, of course they're going to say that. But then they said some of the data seemed to show that the reoccurrence of crime is 60% among American prisoners that are released, and amongst his group that stat dropped to 20%.
Oh, wow.
But then a later study said that it was like skewed results. It wasn't as well controlled because they didn't talk about like length of time after, like if it's 20 years later,
or 3 days after. Yeah,
so that there may have not been as drastic of results as they had originally thought or that he published. And he was kind of loose, like flying by the seat of his pants. Like,
he was a little bit loosey-goosey on the scientific method.
Because he was on LSD the whole time.
They did it at their house, you know.
And I mean, I just completely lost my thought.
Chuck E. Cheese. LSD. You were going to say Chuck E. Cheese.
MJ-12.
Yeah.
MJ-12. It is the 40th anniversary of Chuck E. Cheese this year.
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah. Creepy motherfuckers.
Free shitty pizza and impetigo in the ball pit. Ah, impetigo.
My favorite.
Free impetigo with and 10 tokens.
In the ball pit on your ball. On,
and 10 tokens.
Yeah.
You get impetigo in the ball pit on your balls.
Yes.
And Chuck E. Cheese is even worse now because there's not really any animatronics.
I thought you weren't allowed to have the ball pit. And what's the difference between Chuck E. Cheese and Showbiz? Did they both have animatronics? Or is that all mixed up in my head?
Chuck E. Cheese, that little fucking mob rat, like ran
the
Showbiz people out of the business.
Ours that we have here, you go to the right in the room. Like, go right, and then it's on the left-hand side. The stage is right there.
But it's not like it used to be. Like, it used to be like a whole cadre of animatronics, and now it's like Chuck E. Cheese and like one thing and then a bunch of TV monitors.
It's like a one-man
band. I remember there was a mouse hole under the stage, and you could go in the mouse hole and crawl under the animatronics and stuff, too.
That's creepy.
I think you're making that up.
I swear to God.
Talk about people's mouse holes. It's gross.
It's probably not sanitary.
No, I'm sure
I don't even think they're allowed
to
have that ball pit. I think they still have the ball pit. I thought that was like, that's why every fast food chain got rid of their outside.
Well, no, you're allowed to have them. It's just that the rigors of keeping it clean are pretty strict.
I'm sure they wash those balls every night.
Yeah.
Scrub them.
Yeah, they scrub those balls.
I do.
They scrub the balls and then they throw them in the mouse hole.
I only have to deal with two. They have hundreds. So
that's true. All those kids.
That's a lot of balls to scrub.
Yeah. Slobbering all over their balls.
So during this whole Harvard phase, they were looking at the study of the mind and the brain and the body and environment, and they were arguing that psychology had legitimate interests in how cognition and perception and emotion are affected by mind-altering substances. So this is all part of what they're doing. And I mean, it seems like at its core, it's a legitimate thing to study. No one has studied the effects of this drug on the human brain before. They're looking at consciousness. But again, they just start to kind of fly a little loosey-goosey with the rules.
I mean, it definitely causes some serious self-reflection. Like, you're stuck in your head with yourself. You know what I mean?
Right.
You have really no choice. The other thing they were trying to do was figure out like schizophrenia. They were like, how could we induce this so they could have some kind of comparison of empathy, like to say that, hey, I know what this is like. And maybe if you experienced what that patient in the psych ward's going through,
then you might be able
maybe
to
you
fix
could
it or
relate.
Something.
Yeah. You go, oh, I could see how this mechanism's working. They're hearing audible or visual things. They don't understand. I understand because I just took a substance to create that to happen. So you could objectively look at that during an experiment where they just are hearing shit and they don't understand why.
Right.
So they can objectively look at it. So, I mean, I think a lot of good probably came from it.
I think so as well. But then he starts to get in trouble because people are starting to critique the rigor of their, you know, unorthodox practices.
No, we used the same pillow. They were laying on the same pillow naked that the other guy was.
Right.
they licked the same plate.
They themselves got high while they were performing the studies, which could potentially
that's what
be
I'm
a
saying.
Problem.
Like,
you know, so they would.
Yeah, their findings were a bit skewed.
Yeah.
They just used really bright markers to record the results. That's all.
And they would tell,
yeah, that's right. They would tell people. I mean, it's they didn't do anything like super shady, like slip people LSD and they don't know about it. Right. That's what the CIA did. They would tell them you're going to take a substance and not tell them what the substance did, but at right. least they authorized, like, you're part of a scientific project. You're going to take a substance. It, yeah. You know, they knew and they were part of an experiment.
We had something called set and setting, and meaning like set meaning what's your expectation of it, and the setting meaning what's the environment it's in. And they made sure, because it only takes a little bit to have a bad trip. Like if there's a stressor or something that you're uncomfortable with or you have anxiety, you could be like fire and brimstone and freaking the fuck out trying to jump right. out of a window. So they did a very like relaxed, controlled environment. They talked to everyone before they did it to say, like, you know, what to expect a little bit. You know what I mean? They didn't tell them what the drug did, but they did kind of prepare them that this is not just going to be like getting stoned or drunk.
Right.
Like this is a psychedelic drug.
Right.
Yeah.
And they still, I mean, so and at the time, he was and they weren't even illegal. Like,
no.
Like, yeah. mushrooms weren't illegal. LSD, I mean, he's the reason LSD becomes illegal, yeah. ultimately. But yeah. at this point, when he's doing this research, he's not even experimenting with illegal compounds. But so initially, Harvard was okay with what he did because everyone that was taking it was either a member of the faculty or was a graduate student. But apparently what got him in trouble was he gave someone LSD out of his personal stash of LSD when they were off campus and it wasn't part of an experiment and it was an undergraduate.
Right.
So, and you can imagine he must have been like the most popular professor in Harvard.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
This motherfucker gives everybody LSD. Yeah. He's baked while he's doing it.
Rock star.
Like he had to just be the shit. And I was, and then I'm looking, I was like, okay, so I wonder how weird shit got. And I saw a brief excerpt that was in Wired of apparently all of his notes recently got put into historical archives and a Wired reporter was looking at the notes and he tracked a couple of minutes of a DMT session that Timothy Leary did in the 60s at Harvard, and he was recording his own progress, like recording what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And at 12 minutes in to him in the DMT experiment, he said, quote, "Open eyes, you are in a world where consciousness has left the robot."
That's kind of like it's a Bowie album, I'm pretty sure.
At 14 minutes, he said, "Assemble plastic dolls." And then said nothing else until 16 minutes when he said, "Decompose the plastic dolls, wave vibrations."
Weird.
So he was high as fuck on DMT, LSD, and psychotropic mushrooms.
DMT is a trip, though. Most people describe very similar. I mean, we are the same being. It's the beavers build dams, like I always say. Yeah. So maybe you would get the same type of result. But it's a very weird thing where they describe familiarity, like I've been here before. There's always some kind of conscious, like intelligence there that says like, welcome back kind of thing.
Right.
You know, everyone, that Strassman thing. I mean, that would be a good thing for us to cover too at some point in time.
Strassman.
Yeah. That's the Dr. Strassman who did all the controlled DMT experiments.
Oh yeah.
Spirit molecule.
So he and his partner Alpert both get fired from Harvard because they're giving out drugs to 18-year-olds.
Yeah, yeah, the other problem. The other guy gets fired because he gave someone psilocybin, and then Leary actually just gets fired because he quits doing his lectures at the proposed time. But he kind of tries to ride the bandwagon of like, "Yeah, man, I got fired from Harvard too."
Oh,
but really?
Wow.
What happened was he wasn't showing up giving all his lectures. Yeah, and he finally got
just high all the time.
Yeah. Right.
That's pretty much what it came down
today
to.
Monday, man. Oh.
So.
He's fried, man. In his later interviews, you watch him when he's like 60 years old.
Oh, fuck yeah, he's fried.
He's fucking out of his mind.
But I mean, so Alpert, his partner, in 1967, so in 1963, they get fired from Harvard. By 1967, his partner has changed his name to Baba Ram Das.
Yeah.
Which means servant of God.
He becomes one of the most famous mystics ever.
He becomes a mystic guru who travels the world, gives everybody LSD, expands their consciousness. So it's like, yeah. I mean, unlike anyone else who would get fired from an academic institution for giving drugs to kids, he goes on and becomes like a world renowned Baba, you know,
Jesus Christ.
And then Timothy Leary becomes like Alpert becomes sort of the spiritual side of it, and Timothy Leary kind of becomes the pop culture side of it.
Yeah.
But they're both talking about expanding your consciousness, taking these drugs. And this is in the 1960s. Drug culture is booming, and he taps in to this boom of drug culture and helps to usher it in with his advocation of LSD.
Yeah. I would really like to try like DMT or acid in a controlled environment, but I'm so scared that I'll have some epiphanal moment of realization and like sell all my shit and throw my clothes away or something and just drive off in my VW bus. That's what I'm worried about. Because your opinion and belief is your opinion. Like once it changes, you'd be like, oh, I was just wrong, man. What have I been doing running a computer shop all these years, working for the man or something? I'll get all fucking weird.
You know working I mean? For myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I am the man, man. Yeah, that'll happen.
Like, you shut your mouth. Yeah. No, you shut your mouth.
You're the man. Yeah. Fuck you. You're the man.
What the fuck's going on here?
Because people do that. They take off to like ayahuasca fucking retreats and then they come back and they just go, yeah, man, I'm helping pygmies now. Like,
I don't what? I don't think so. I think, you know, you could, I think you'd probably find a clearer path, you know, maybe for yourself. But there's a lot of people that do it and come back and go back to their job and just have, they have maybe some sort of set goals and they have like a clearer thing, or they're trying to resolve something that happened in their past.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? Like, so that happens too. So like maybe you come out and you figure out you were molested.
Yeah.
And
that's why my butt
change
everything.
Weird. Yeah.
Right.
It is. It's proven that like people completely cold turkey heroin and addictions like that off of Ibogaine retreats and that's doing something. It's rebooting something. It makes a physiological, logical change.
Leary and Alpert were on to something. I mean, these drugs, like in some circumstances, will completely change a person's outlook on life and like have these profound impacts. And for a lot of people, they just get fucking stoned and trip balls and sit there. Yeah. But I mean, there are people for whom it like really changes the world.
Well, and they probably were taking LSD and having sex and stuff, you know, and just like fucking orgies.
I'm sure that's exactly, they were having love-ins and I don't know if they were doing it at Harvard yet, but they eventually...
They were doing it at Harvard.
You're right. But they eventually get there. So they end up forming the IFIF or the
IFIF. If.
Yeah.
Which can we call the, Boba Fett? Can we call him Bahram Yu? What's his name?
I like Boba Fett better than
Boba Fett.
I think you already did it with Boba Fett. So he becomes...
He's a spiritual bounty.
Yeah. He becomes Boba Fett, the Mandalorian with Wookiee braids on his belt. Sorry, that was a little too nerdy.
Yeah.
Me and Brenna.
I went straight for it. Someone out there appreciates it. Anyway, so the IFIF is the International Foundation for Internal Freedom. And basically,
that sounds stupid.
Yeah, I know. But the idea was it was this group that was advocating people taking drugs, like that was the internal freedom. And they got backing from some anonymous multimillionaire in New York City. And they built like a crazy, this is the middle of late 1960s. They basically built a hippie commune in upstate New York where they sat around and did fucking LSD.
Yeah, someone
all the
funded
time.
The purchase of a giant estate.
Yeah.
And they continued the research there for years, rent free. Like they purchased a mansion. Like I saw some pictures of it.
Because some fucking rich dude in New York wanted to keep tripping balls with Timothy Leary.
And hang out with fucking, the hot chicks. Yeah.
Bob of the Hut.
That's what's happening.
Like, that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Bob of the Hut. I just morphed him more. Yeah. And so somewhere around here, he, from this commune, he ends up leaping into like mainstream pop culture. Timothy Leary does.
Well, he's a big proponent for taking and trying drugs.
Right.
Like he's not heroin, not marijuana. Like he wanted the psychedelics. Yeah. The mind altering experience drugs. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Disneyland ride.
You know, there becomes like an underground, like black market for that. Then you get like the whole Woodstock style movement and people everywhere doing it.
Right.
And he is the rock star godfather of it.
He fucking made it pretty much. Like you found it and made it.
Yeah. I mean, he's the one who like really accelerated it. I mean, I was even reading things that said that to this day, rates of LSD use as an illegal drug in the United States are twice as high as they are anywhere else in the world because of Timothy Leary. Like, because we have a completely different mindset about LSD than other nations do. And a lot of it is because of what Timothy Leary did advocating the drug.
You see what happens to these people after they've done it for a long time. And I just wouldn't want to do it. Like I couldn't
try
see
it
myself.
Once.
No. Doing it in a small amount once, twice, maybe here or there.
Yeah.
That's completely
but like
fine.
As a regular.
These guys
these
that take
fuckers.
It. Yeah. Because like I said, if you watch videos of this guy, he's out of his fucking mind.
We even had a friend in high school that didn't come back, dude. I don't know what all he did.
No, I had when I was probably sophomore in high school, had some friends. They were smart dudes, like normal, you know, like, AB students, you know, they did sports and stuff. By senior year, they were fucking vegetables.
Yeah.
Right.
My first varsity wrestling match was because I was supposed to be JV. It was like sophomore year, JV 171s. And the guy that was supposed to be varsity 171s came walking in like overalls, no shoes, just fucking space cadeted out. And the coach was all, Van Tassel, come here. I got to talk to you. He's like, you're going to varsity in that, son. We're going to have to call social services. I was like, oh, fuck.
Little Jimmy's not going home tonight.
Yeah. All right. Like I got promoted by LSD overdose.
It's like the plot line of Karate Kid 5. Fucking LSD.
Daniel-san, are you okay?
Whoa.
What, Master Wu?
So he ends up like his famous phrase, which comes out in this point is turn on, tune in, drop out. And, he gets a lot of media play to the point that Richard Nixon.
And he
said
got that from a friend, actually. He didn't actually.
Oh, did he?
That. Yeah. Someone else gave that to him at a lunch.
Fucking plagiarist.
Someone was like singing.
guy didn't think of that. Come on.
They were singing to a 50 or 60s, Pepsi jingle. The guy, I can't remember the guy who he went to lunch with. Maybe if I come across it, I'll throw it out. But he got it from one of his friends at lunch. Oh, I might have found it just now.
Was he a Jedi?
Said that Marshall McLuhan.
Marshall McLuhan.
Yeah, gave it to him, and he was singing something about
Marshall Mathers.
Psychedelics hit the spot, 500 micrograms, that's a lot, to the jingle of a Pepsi jingle or something. Mm-hmm. And then after that, he started saying the tune.
Now, this blows my mind because Marshall McLuhan was one of the, like, greatest like media theorists of all time, and he was popular in the 60s and so I mean,
yeah,
Timothy Leary was hanging out with top rank fucking academics. Like if he's like singing with Marshall McLuhan, that just fucking blew my mind because he was like as good as it fucking gets, and these are the people that Timothy Leary is hanging out with. If you're if you're the best academic, Timothy Leary's hanging out with you. If you're a fucking movie star, if you're a huge singer, like he's hanging out with the fucking cream of the crop because of the vibe of the day. And
everybody wants to get the drugs from him.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like when you're the man with the plan, like everybody's there.
Right. So he ends up becoming like super famous. Nixon calls him the most dangerous man in America.
Yeah. He would.
Because he was giving out all the drugs. He took psilocybin trips with Allen Ginsberg, Jack Kerouac, William S. Burroughs, like major like literary figures of the day. He started a church called the League for Spiritual Discovery, which sounds like a really bad clan and a horrible video game. He ends up when he married, and I don't know
like
what happened.
Your rival clan, and
that's
I'm gonna start that up. Your rival clan in Fun Run.
He started the
extraordinary fucking league.
The league's back of just extraordinary discovery.
Is that the religion he started to try to make the religious sacrament LSD so he could continue to legally
now
do it?
That I didn't hear, but that's awesome. Well,
is that, if that happened after, they outlawed it.
Break that out.
Well, eventually they outlaw. California is the first to outlaw LSD and they make it illegal and psilocybin, and then everyone follows suit. And so then he immediately starts a church and making, which they, people get away with that shit. Like there's still some places today they get away
it's
with
because
that.
It's
like
religious
and stuff.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
Like having 12-year-old, it's like having 12-year-old wives.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, the Catholic Church got away with having wine all and, through Prohibition.
Yeah.
Right.
And little boys.
Right. So he does the same thing, but for some reason he limits the membership to 360 and says that there's no more memberships available, but you should go ahead and follow suit and create your own church and make LSD the religious sacrament. So, but he
360.
I don't know why. Yeah.
That's weird.
It's 360 degrees, man.
Circle. Yeah. Probably. It's all a circle, man.
Regenerate the plastic, man.
I will say one of my
friends, waves.
One of my friends licked acid off of a plate one time and I was present for like the aftermath of that. And all he kept saying was, it's all a circle to his fucking mom, by the way. His mom came out and she had no idea. And she's like, no, mom, you don't understand. It all makes sense. It's all a circle. And he just kept saying it. And I was like, I'm getting the fuck out of
here. The circle of life.
I fucking left.
So again, his fame, like, again, who is this guy now? Most people don't know. But when he married, well, no, there's a guy named Ted Markland who was the star of the old TV show Bonanza.
Oh yeah, saw that.
And this was like right when Bonanza was super popular. But when Leary married his third wife, I don't know what happened to his second wife.
She didn't make it. She wasn't ready.
She wasn't ready.
Stupid. I think the second wife, they divorced after he went to jail or something. And then he meets another girl and they travel the world. They go to fucking, is that the one? Yeah.
That's his fourth wife.
That's his fourth wife.
I'm serious.
I can't keep track of
but this.
She was the one that was ready. The fourth wife.
This one, they get married by Ted Markland, the star from Bonanza, while everyone at the ceremony is high on acid.
Oh, that's a good wedding to go to, I guess.
Fucking wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. And hey, guys, even, I'm like, getting married.
He was at the level of popularity that he, like, when Yoko Ono and John Lennon were doing one of their sit-ins and they were, like, in their hotel room and they wouldn't leave, like, Timothy Leary went up and they filmed them sitting in bed with Timothy Leary singing Give Peace a Chance.
Yeah, because they're on LSD. Like,
there isn't there isn't a more high 1960s moment on earth than Timothy Leary sitting with John Lennon and Yoko Ono singing Give Peace a Chance high on LSD in a hotel bed.
You know, the song like, Come Together was actually written for Timothy Leary. Did you not know that?
I did not.
I promise I'm not making that
up. Okay, I was looking at your eyes. I was trying to see.
He, at one point, he tries to run for governor of California against Ronald Reagan.
It was in 1970.
Yeah, and he, June 1st, 1969. That's when they were all in bed or whatever. But he writes the song Come Together because of his tagline for candidacy was something about coming together. And enjoy the party or something.
Yeah, like it was something like that.
Something weird. And then Lennon writes a song.
That's crazy.
Come Together, a super famous song based off of Leary's candidacy slogan.
Yeah. So, but he didn't stay in the race for very long because they busted
him. Come together,
him.
Join the party.
Come that together, join the party. Because they busted him for marijuana possession.
In his wife's panties.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
How do you not get these little tidbits?
I didn't.
Yeah, they crossed the border. They crossed the border to Mexico, and they decide at some point on the Texas border.
Was it like loose leaf tea in the panties? Like, was she getting high from
all up in there?
Moist. From the marijuana?
No. Like, so she realized
her tentacles sucking.
They decide they're going to cross back over the border to stay in a hotel in Texas or something, and she realizes like, fuck, I have weed, and they can't throw it out on the bridge. I guess there's like customs right there, and so she just shoves it in her panties to try to hide it. They catch her. He says it's mine and gets 30 fucking years for weed.
But it was panties. I read some weird thing because he had dodged
two strikes.
Yeah, basically. I mean, he had dodged a couple of other convictions for weed. So when the judge finally busted him on this, he like tacked on years for the other things,
but
or
then
some
he appeals it for
shit.
The Tax Act of 1937 for like self-incriminating guilt, something, and fucking Will Hunting gets out of it,
right?
Because he's so fucking smart. Like he quotes something, and they say, "Yeah, it's unconstitutional," and he gets away from that one. But then
this
later
one catches up with
he gets caught with two roaches, but he allegedly said they were planted, and then he fucking still gets in trouble,
right?
And then while they're in jail, they tack that one back on that he beat somehow because they're just like they don't want him around.
Fuck this guy,
because the president is calling him America's most dangerous man. They're going to fucking throw the book at him.
He's giving everybody LSD. Like,
right.
He's like fucking running around.
So, okay, this is the part that gets crazy. This is where Timothy Leary goes from like, okay, that guy's kind of cool. He's like counterculture, like talking, like this is like at this point in his life, I was like, okay, Timothy Leary is the fucking shit.
Yeah. He's talk about the behavioral tests.
Yeah. So he gets arrested. He goes to the men's colony in San Luis Obispo and they give him like once he's in there and like apparently according to like all of his friends and his relatives from day one, his plan was to break out of jail and leave the country.
I'm sure like, the men's colony in San Luis Obispo is just horrible.
I was going to say that's the worst place you could probably.
The ocean breeze coming through the barbed wire.
No, you drive right past them.
Yeah, it makes San Quentin look like a fucking nice club at night or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
so he said once he was arrested, quote, consider my situation. I was 49-year-old man facing life in prison for encouraging people to face up to new options with courage and intelligence. The American government was being run by Richard Nixon, Spiro Agnew. He lists a bunch of other people.
Blah, blah.
J. Edgar Hoover and other cynical flouters of the democratic process. Would you have let men like those keep you in prison for life for your ideas? So from day one, he plans to break out. He goes to the men's colony. He discovers early on that people get different work details based on passing a behavioral and a psychological test. And it just so happens that the test was the Leary interpersonal behavioral
by him.
Test. So he knew, yes. And apparently whoever gave him the test didn't fucking put one and two together.
Yeah, they clearly studied psychology.
All right,
psychology.
Timothy Leary, you're going to take the Leary. Yeah. Well, that's weird.
So he gains the test, and he gives every answer he should to let them say, okay, you should be a gardener, because he knows that in the men's colony at the time, the gardening area was the least secure area in the prison. Yeah. So he games the test that he invented in order to get into the lowest security part of the prison. And again, this is where I was like, okay, this gets fucking deep. So he ends up climbing to a rooftop, climbs up a telephone pole, shimmies over a cable across the prison yard over the barbed wire, and drops onto the highway because it's right next to the highway. It's right alongside the
That's some Chuck Norris Rambo
that
shit.
That is some fucking Chuck Norris Rambo
I wouldn't picture that he's got like fucking buff arms or upper body strength from doing LSD and fucking.
If you
want to
get out of prison,
you're
got to man up.
Shit out.
Okay.
So,
man up.
Then the next step, I was like, okay, so he climbs out, ninjas out of the prison, drops on the fucking the freeway one, the Pacific Coast Highway,
which is not like it is now. Like,
no. So he gets picked up by the weathermen
of the Weather Underground. Yeah,
the Weathermen Underground, which is like a ultra left wing group. They were considered a terrorist group. All this different shit.
That's one of my favorite hip hop groups.
The Weathermen.
They were paid by the Brotherhood of Eternal Love $25,000 to help him escape.
Yeah. And the Brotherhood of Eternal Love was called the Hippie Mafia because they controlled all LSD and hashish on the entire West Coast.
That's funny. Did you guys see the Boston Midget Mafia?
Did you post that?
No. How can you be the mafia, the fucking hippie mafia? You're just like, hey, man, that's not cool.
Well, I tell you what, if you
give
run,
my drugs back, man. If
how could you have a midget mafia and be arrested for assault?
Yeah,
like,
if you don't give me my money, man, I'm really gonna harsh your chill, man.
Like, I'm so if you run the entire fucking LSD and hash game on the entire West Coast, it's just a matter of time before you go from being hippies to being fucking mobsters.
Yeah. But then
like
you get violent, though. That's what I'm saying.
You probably would. If you're running drug game and it's money,
at that point, you're not a hippie.
They might not be. They might just be running money
at that point.
It's just a name at that point.
Yeah, pretty much. So they take him to Algeria. Right. Mm-hmm. They're paid $25,000 to smuggle him out of the country and take him to Algeria, where he hangs out on the compound of Eldridge Cleaver, who's in exile because he's one of the leaders of the Black Panthers and he can't come back to America. So Timothy Leary breaks out of jail, goes and lives with a fucking Black Panther in Algeria. Like, are you fucking kidding me? This guy is the most awesome fucking guy ever. And he's high on LSD the whole time.
That's why people want him, though. It's because they're like, they get him out of prison to ask him, where's the drugs?
Right.
It's like, they're like, hey, all right, where's the drugs at?
Okay, we got you out for a reason. Yeah. So he ends up living as a fugitive on the run. He ends up hanging out with Roman Polanski, the famous director and more famous pedophile who can't come back to the United States because of sexual crimes. He ends up, this is where he meets his fourth wife, who's a Swiss-born socialite named Joanna Harcourt Smith. She's the stepdaughter of some like crazy financier
in
Switzerland. And they get married in the hotel 2 weeks after they met, high on coke and LSD. And that's his fourth wife while he's on the run from the U.S. government. And the Swiss arrested him. And then when they looked into it more, they were like, no, you're not extraditing him.
Yeah, they imprisoned him for a little while and then said no after 30 days or something.
So eventually he ends up going, I forget the name of the, I forget what country was it?
He goes to Vienna, Beirut, and then eventually Afghanistan in 1972.
And he gets arrested in Afghanistan.
Because there's no extradition treaty between the United States.
Right. So he gets arrested in Afghanistan. They bring him back and he spends a couple more years in Folsom prison.
Well, they get him back through some loophole though, because they can't extradite him. He's in Afghanistan and they do something with the plane because the American Airlines is like somehow property of the United States. So they pull some shit where they're like, no,
yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. And then they get him when he gets off the plane and he didn't have his passport because someone snagged it. They had set it up. It was some trickery.
Yeah.
So they got around extradition.
The American Airlines was American property, probably. They probably considered it America.
Right.
Yeah,
it's probably where the corporate treaty was and all that.
Like, see, it says America on the side.
Leonardo DiCaprio should have hooked him up, man.
That's right. But again, if Mr. Watergate thinks you're the worst fucking person in America and you're running against Ronald Reagan in California, like they're going to bust your ass. Like, sorry, that's just happening
for you.
So he ends up getting arrested. He spends time. But he hasn't spent that much time. Eventually, Governor Jerry Brown, who was the governor in 1976 and is the governor again right now of California, ended up letting him go, basically, like let him go.
Like he's doing it to everybody else.
He had a $5 million bail, which was equivalent to $21 million in like 2005 or 2006.
Fuck.
That's quite the bail.
That's a big bail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, nowadays he's in jail for shit that's not that big a deal anymore. Like everybody's legalizing marijuana now. And he was in jail for possession of marijuana. 30 years
for having enough that fit in her pants.
Right, exactly, dude. That's what's crazy.
And then eventually two roaches.
Yeah. He's like, wait a minute, I'm sitting here in jail, and that shit's legal, though, and fucking all these things.
They didn't say two joints. They said two roaches. That's the leftover little bit that you're going to burn your fucking fingers.
Yeah.
That's the part you give your homie, like after.
There you go, bro.
Yeah, you want some?
So he gets out of prison, and then in sort of his later days, he's just fucking doing crazy shit. So all through the 80s, he starts to work for arts and entertainment jobs. He's working for TV and film. He dabbles in stand-up comedy because he's just high as fuck.
He takes on Winona Ryder as his godchild for some fucking weird reason.
Yep.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Like his connections are just ridiculous. Yeah.
I dislike Winona Ryder so much.
Why?
I don't know. She annoys me.
No, she's cool. What? I just watched something with her too.
She's a bad actress.
Watch.
She is a bad actress.
Yes.
Beetlejuice? Really come on.
Is. Hey, no. Don't get me wrong. Beetlejuice is an awesome movie. It's one of my all-time favorites.
But she's not a great actress.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all about Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Mr. Deeds?
No.
She's in that.
Yeah, it's horrible.
There's a little bit of sarcasm in my voice over here. I am a Nicolas Cage fan, and I always root for the under.
I like Nicolas Cage.
The under actor.
I was the one that started the Nicolas Cage thing. I like Nicolas Cage. For real.
For some reason, I like Winona Ryder. I'm just agreeing that she's not a very good actress.
I don't like her at all.
I haven't seen her doing anything lately. I didn't really watch Strange Days.
She was in something.
Girl Interrupted.
Yeah. Yo, Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
Yeah, and she's bad in that.
No way.
Yes.
Uh-uh.
Oh, my God.
And fight. Throughout this thing, so he starts doing college tours. Like he goes from being a pariah that academics don't want around to like all the college kids want him to come and talk about his fucking crazy LSD madness.
Yeah.
So he gets like huge money doing college tours. He does a presentation that he calls How to Operate Your Brain. He starts to like pioneer.
The talks, though, he goes on the lecture tour is with Gordon G. Liddy.
G. Gordon Liddy.
Yeah, who was the Watergate guy. Who was the guy who was raiding his mansion the whole time.
He arrested
him.
G. Gordon Liddy was the guy who arrested him the time he got sent to prison.
But then Gordon Liddy gets the Watergate jail time. And then they both have a common fucking we're both fucking with
maybe
the jail.
Maybe I should ask LSD.
Yeah,
exactly.
I guess you're not so bad.
Yeah, no, one of their tours was G. Gordon Liddy and him would go on tour and they would debate each other about drugs. So just fucking crazy.
How do you keep having that debate? Like you already had your speaking points. When you get to the next college, do you have to skip those speaking points or is it like stand-up comedy where you just rehash it?
The internet wasn't there.
Yep.
It's like you just do it again.
You get away with it. Yeah. Act like you're mad.
Yeah. Right. So he starts to turn to technology. as a, like, he starts to be a big pusher of virtual reality early on. Like, he reads Neuromancer from William Gibson, and he sees all these ideas of virtual reality in cyberspace in the late 80s, early 90s, and it fucking blows his mind. And he starts to back.
He was really into the power glove. It said
he was. Yeah. He would use the power glove as a demonstration on stage.
That's the lamest demonstration ever.
That is kind of the first virtual reality like style interface, though.
Horrible. Yeah. So, and he, there's a guy named Jean Lanier, who's like one of the, or Lanier, I don't know how he pronounces it, but he's like a huge VR pioneer, like one of the best in Silicon Valley. And he's friends, you know, with him because he's trying to push this whole thing. He starts a group called Futique, which he considers the opposite of antique.
Futique. Oh my God.
It will echo through futiquity.
For all of futiquity, I shall be remembered.
That guy's a futique dealer. How does he do
man.
It?
Yeah. Like, man, those are crazy sunglasses. Those are crazy futique.
Where'd you get those?
Those are crazy.
How'd you do that?
We're going to go.
It,
hey,
I drive it.
Hey, guys, can we go futiquing later?
We should.
Can we go futiquing?
That's what I want to know. Become futique dealers.
Yeah.
That's the shit. Trust me. Like 7 years from now at Christmas, you're going to fucking wish you had this shit right here.
Yeah.
You can't use it yet.
You don't even know.
No. Brainwave transmission is not a thing yet.
But when it does, you're going to so you're stoked. All going to want one of these.
Are you reading my mind right now what I got you?
This shit's called Green Tooth.
Green Tooth.
It's the next thing. Yeah,
it's
fuck Bluetooth.
Way better.
This shit goes 60 feet.
Yeah.
It's not reverse compatible though.
Yeah. That No. That drives USP. Doesn't fit in there.
We are boutique dealers.
Yeah. We just make a bunch of shit that doesn't work and
exactly.
sell it.
Exactly.
In a couple years.
Yeah.
Right.
You just wait.
Exactly.
Yeah. You give that to your kid now, and when he graduates college, he'll thank you.
And then later on, you just get away with like that old, you know, standard of, well, you know, the future's always, you know, changing.
Yeah.
You
know? I mean,
like there's
I mean,
so
it's
many.
Never,
variety,
it's never
so
definite. Many, I mean, you haven't you seen Back to the Future?
Heisenberg uncertainty principle alone is going to mean, you know, I'm hit or miss on this shit.
It's cans of ozone.
Yeah.
So, and around this time, so in 1990 is when his daughter Susan shoots her boyfriend in the head while he's sleeping.
But I really like how they worded it.
Oh, it's great.
They said great. She was arrested at age 42 for firing a bullet into her boyfriend's head as he slept. Like,
yeah,
that's a
it doesn't
weird
say
way.
Shooting
that is a weird
him in the
way
head.
To put it. Yeah,
firing,
yeah.
A, bullet
firing a bullet
into,
his head.
Like, what else would you fire into his head?
Unless that implies it was accidental. Like, she fired a bullet and it happened to hit her boyfriend's
like
head.
Involuntary manslaughter.
Well, yeah, but she still shot him in the head.
Yes, yes.
Like, it doesn't change the action if it was
accidental. She inserted a knife into his chest. Yeah.
Stab. A knife was plunged.
She introduced a knife into his kidney.
Into his body cavity.
Nice to meet you, knife. I'm kidney.
Yeah.
So, but she was ruled
just
unfit.
Kidney.
Yeah. She was ruled unfit to stand trial by reason of insanity. And then while she was still, like, you know, in... incarcerated, she hung herself with shoelaces and killed herself. Yeah.
Do they do that like with sex offenders that are on LSD or that can't, that aren't fit to, you know, do trial? They're like, he put his penis in the child. Maybe. Instead of saying like raping
just,
a child.
Yeah,
like,
changed the.
Did you see his new cyberdelic phrase?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Instead of the turn on.
Is that like a sandwich shop? Cyber deli?
Yeah.
Cyberdelic.
There's one somewhere in America.
I heard they have green tooth there.
Cyberdelic. It's cyberdelic. You can get a
you can cast
your tofurkey sandwich.
Your MP8s over green tooth.
MP8s.
Yeah. No. His new phrase is turn on, boot up, and jack in.
Ooh.
So high tech.
Yeah.
No. He walks around high tech. With a
but again,
power
like
glove.
Boot up. I mean, even with jack. This, like, so in the early '90s, like he's hanging out with Johnny Depp, Susan Sarandon, Dan Aykroyd.
Of
like,
course
I mean, he's
he is.
Still hanging out with like really fucking big stars.
Weirdos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true as well. In 1993, he was actually a consultant for Billy Idol on the production of the album Cyberpunk, which Billy Idol did. And it was
makes
the first
sense.
It was the first album, I'm pretty sure it was the first album ever recorded entirely on a computer. Like there were no instruments outside of computers that Billy Idol did on Cyberpunk. And Timothy Leary.
What year was that?
That was in 93.
I wonder if Kurzweil had to have something to do with that shit.
You think Nine Inch, when was Nine Inch Nails?
But they would still have other tracks. They'd still lay down a drum track or play a guitar or whatever. The entire, like everything was done on a Mac basically.
Yeah.
But in 95, I got really excited about this, but then the internet's failed me. He created a game called Mind Mirror in 1995 through Electronic Arts. It was the same year that Madden debuted, by the way.
EA Sports.
But, and it said, like the article that I read, I think it was the Wired article, and it said that it currently still exists as a Facebook app. And I looked up the fucking Mind Mirror app and like all it goes into Facebook for the Mind Mirror, but then it just like link not found. It just keeps like dropping off.
Maybe that's what the game is.
That's it. You've just won and lost the game.
You
have to do it 100 times without getting mad.
Yeah.
Right.
It's all welcome to Mind Mirror.
Welcome.
Welcome. Congratulations. You've won.
But I do want to see Mind Mirror because that's gotta just be ridiculous. Like mid-90s video game created by Timothy Leary. That's got to be horrible and awesome.
Did you see Starseed?
Is there an actual game cartridge for that?
I don't know. No, I think it was just on PC.
He got super obsessed with colonizing space.
Because he hung out with Carl Sagan because he fucking hung out with everybody.
And so he was obsessed. He thought that 5,000 of the Earth's most virile and intelligent people should go onto a vessel that he called Starseed.
I need clarification. Virile.
There it is, buddy.
And intelligent?
Yeah.
Or virile and or intelligent?
No, both.
Commodore 64.
Ooh, you get it.
5 1/4 inch disc, Timothy Leary, LSD, Mind Mirror, $69.99 on eBay, buddy.
Well, how much is the Commodore 64?
$500.
Because that's kind of part of the package. Yeah. You know, all things.
I bet
considered.
There's an emulation for that shit and it exists.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Some trippy fucking Linux dude was man. Yeah, that has been ported over. But
if it's in Facebook, it's obviously ported over, even if the Facebook link is dead.
The cover's great though. It's a ball with him, but it's his picture.
Yeah.
It's fucking vain.
I want to play that fucking game so bad.
I'll suck a dick right now to play it.
Just remind me. We'll see if we can find it on torrent. And
I
have a dick if you're looking to suck. No.
Just try remind to find me. He really got interested.
He did. I'm willing to break the law.
Yeah.
If that's the
reward. We can introduce animals into this mix if you'd like.
I was just going to download the torrent, but if you want to suck a dick, I can help you on both.
Those. Yeah. While it's downloading, you can down my loads. And then we can play the game.
I'm sure it's like 4 megs or something.
Yeah, I'm sure it's.
You better work quick, sir. Yeah. He created an acronym called SMILE, but the I is squared. Did you see that?
No.
It stands for Space Migration Intelligence Increased. That's where the little square comes in. Life Extension. So that's why I was thinking like Kurzweil, whole like that album. I bet I didn't see them cross paths.
I didn't
but
either.
I bet that they are. I mean, he's talking about colonizing space, increasing your life extension, like expectancy. Yeah. It seems like they would be buddies, but I didn't see it.
Zoltan Istvan's buddy.
Yeah, yeah. He might have been fucking kicking it. So, and this goes through. So in 95, and again, like to me, the more I studied his later life, the more I just had respect for this guy. But so he gets diagnosed with a terminal cancer in 1995, inoperable terminal. He's told he has at most a year to live. And so at that point, he converts www.timothyleary.com to be a website all about his death.
Daily, too.
Daily.
He's like Twitter before there was Twitter.
Yeah.
He was daily updating the website so people could see what he ingested that day, what weird psychedelics he took or drugs he took or organic stuff he took.
During his last
year. Dude was way ahead of his fucking time.
Way fucking ahead of his time. So, and one of his quotes was, he said, I'm looking forward, and this was right after he gets diagnosed with this cancer. He said in one thing, I didn't get the exact quote, but he said that his immediate feeling, and this proves how fucking baked this guy was, but his immediate feeling once he was told that he had inoperable cancer was that he was excited. And he says, quote, I'm looking forward to the most fascinating experience in life, which is dying. I've been writing about self-directed dying for 20 years. You've got to approach your dying the way you live your life, with curiosity, with hope, with fascination, with courage, and with the help of your friends. And he ends up basically turning his death into performance art, like all the way till the moment that he dies. And the, I don't think the footage has ever been released, but there were cameras in the room recording him die so that one day it could be made public. Public so people could see and share in this experience, right? He said when the end was near, he gathered all his friends together, and I think it was his grandson said that he told everyone when they got together, don't let it be sad, buy wine, put soup on the stove.
He also was like, going to be frozen. Like, he was talking to two cryogenic companies about getting frozen. They had like some stainless steel pod delivers to his house. But in the end, like right before he died, and he didn't believe that he'd be reawakened at a later date. He didn't think the technology was there. He said, it may work for my children, but if I have a 1 in 1,000 chance, he was going to try to do the cryogenic thing or have him cut his head off and put it on ice.
Right.
The whole Disney thing. But then and right before he dies, he requests to be cremated and have his ashes distributed to a certain amount of people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was going to be frozen. They delivered the fucking crazy pod to his house. I was wondering, like, what happens when that company goes out of business? It doesn't work out. Right. Like, what are we going to do with all these people sickles? You just throw them away? There must be a clause that in the event that the company doesn't work, whatever, another company could buy your frozen body.
There's got to be.
Or you get buried or burned.
I don't know. Yeah. So he plans this celebration, all this stuff. His grandson, Zach, said that his last words were, why not beautiful? And then he died.
I wonder if he did it sober so he could actually experience death or if he was tripping.
I don't know.
He was tripping to cover up his fear.
You might.
May 31st, 1996, Beverly Hills, California. That's when he died. So
he was on drugs the whole time.
He probably was.
Maybe not. People that have psychedelic experiences have much better death coping mechanisms and less death anxiety. Like lots of people that have cancer and terminal illnesses look to having psychedelic experiences because for some reason it makes you more comfortable ingesting it. No, on their way. They don't die on psychedelics. It gets rid of the anxiety for some reason. They understand that there's like a oneness and acceptance that like they're not actually dying. They have some weird thing where there's like a oneness with everything and they don't think they're dying anymore. They think they're just becoming like at one with everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I wonder if you're in those frozen things, are you like a frozen brick or can somebody fuck you still?
You'd pretty much be a frozen brick.
Yeah.
You think so?
For sure.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It'd be like, so you could not get it in there.
Two other things.
Now, hold on. A woman can fuck a man, though, if we're going to get technical. Because if you get hard before you get frozen.
Yeah. That would be the key.
Yeah. There you go. So it depends on the question.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're like a steak frozen, like hamburger meat frozen. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. A guy with a frozen.
I'm glad you thought it through.
Guy with a frozen girl is not happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Girl with a frozen guy. It's game on.
This is unfair.
Two things. In 97, some of his ashes were launched into outer space along with Gene Roddenberry, the founder of Star Trek.
I knew you were going to be excited about that one. Yeah, I saw that.
They sent his ashes into space. And then even as late as 2015, Susan Sarandon actually took a bunch because she received some of his ashes as well. And she put them, they were part of 2015's Burning Man.
Give some of my ashes to Susan Sarandon. Yeah,
exactly. When they built the Burning Man, they like inserted his ashes into it. And then they had the whole Burning Man festival. And then when they burnt it, they were like reburning Timothy Leary's ashes. And I'm sure nobody in that crowd was high on LSD.
No.
That satellite or whatever that got launched, it only stayed for like 6 years.
And then it crashed and burned. Yeah.
It's kind of shitty.
That is shitty.
I thought they stayed up there.
I figured you would have just like launched it out.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's going to keep going. Yeah. It's going to hit Mars or something.
Just like fucking send it up on a shuttle and throw it out the window and just let it kind of
do its booster.
Thing.
Yeah. Just exactly. One more booster.
Yeah. That's all you need. That's it. That's it. So yeah, I was pretty blown away by Timothy Leary's life. I knew he did that research. I knew he was the LSD guy in the 60s, but I didn't know he fucking broke out of jail and lived with Black Panthers on the lam and fucking all this. Like, cool. He had a pretty fucking cool.
You know what sucks? He did all that shit.
He did not get along with the Black Panthers, though.
No, he did not.
He was white. He hated black people.
Yeah.
He hated black people in the 60s.
Well, he was probably a fucking totally stoned out hippie, and now he's hanging out with all these like super aggressive Like it was just harsh and his mellow. Like,
he hey man, like, calm down, bro. Like, and he's like, you
know, fuck you, white boy. Suck it, honky.
Yeah. You trying to, you trying to break us? Huh? Trying to come in here and exercise your whiteness?
Giving us your white devil castle? Poison?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want the Black Panthers on LSD. Fuck that shit.
No.
I don't know. Might be all right.
No.
They just turn into Panthers. Are like, wow.
Oh, shit. They are Black Panthers.
If you give Ku Klux Klan members LSD, they'll just freak out and have a heart attack because they see colors everywhere.
That's right.
I just made that up. Oh, that's a bad joke, but it worked out.
Okay. Sponsors?
See colors everywhere.
Hold on. Isn't there something else we're supposed to do? We're doing sponsors, then we're going to tell some
secrets. We'll do sponsors, and then we'll say goodbye, and then we'll do secrets for our Patreon.
Okay. We need to thank El Yucateco Hot Sauce. If you haven't tried it, you should. Thank you to everyone that participated in the Hot Sack Challenge. I wish there was more, but the quality we got over the quantity was good, so I accept. You can buy El Yucateco Hot Sauce on their website at elyucateco.com. They do have a gear store if you want to get merch from them, and you can use our code SOFAKING to get a discount on any of that sauce or merch. Thank you to printdirtcheap.com. They sell printed goods, banners, flyers, stickers, temporary tattoos, which I need to announce that we have temporary tattoos. I have not decided what the hell is going to happen with those temporary tattoos, but we do have them, so you can try it before you go.
Those are for friend. Those are for if you're a bitch. We have real fans with real tattoos.
Yeah, you can put it on and try it on. Yeah. Try it before you actually get it
before
it on.
You buy it.
Right. Yeah, right. We want you to go get it traced over though immediately. Yeah. So it's a good template.
Yeah,
for when the cult goes live, everybody's gonna have it traced.
Are
over.
Are they right? Temporary? Yeah. That's the thing.
That's nobody the question.
Knows.
Yeah.
Sure. Or they might have LSD on them.
That's so you never know.
When you put them on,
you never know.
Could have done that. How much
one
that
lucky
cost,
winner.
Though?
Yeah. I don't know.
One of them has
one
it.
One lucky winner.
Just, we're going to go out with a bang.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to give those away on Happy 200 episode for our 2-year anniversary.
Yeah.
We're going to be on the news, boys. Finally get that whole ass fame.
Yeah.
Thank
and this
you.
Time we're white Nikes, people. I was disappointed in the fucking Hellbop with the black Nikes, that whole fucking Bernstein Bears thing.
Yeah. We don't even have white Nikes, though.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Can my fans have Onitsuka 81s and your fans have white Nikes?
Sure.
All right. Dave? Barefoot, apparently.
I'm barefoot.
Dave's barefoot right now.
Now.
He's going out barefoot. Thank you to DeLeon Graphics for our t-shirts and koozies. You can follow him on Facebook at DeLeon Graphics with an X. Thank you to Digital Creations for our mugs. And thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can log on to armhunter.com for his apparel and instructional DVDs. And that's all I got for sponsors.
All right. So who's staying online and who's leaving?
Okay, so everybody, so thank you for listening. Yes, la, la, la.
Who's staying, though?
Caleb Imes, I-M-E-E-S.
Yeah, we have an odd number.
You'll stick around, Caleb.
He's got to do two.
And then Heather Golf, stick around. Everybody else, fuck off.
All right. And then I'll do Ty Honart.
I'm pretty sure that's how that's pronounced. And then they're just doing one?
Ty Honart.
I know, but how many are we doing?
I don't know, just one. And, I'll
and then you do one as well.
Yeah. Okay, and the next one. Okay. So Aaron Patrick, stay tuned.
So you guys stay on.
You
the rest of you,
stay.
Blah, 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 yeah. Kick off.
Don't be a retard.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bye.
Okay. Thank you guys Hold for on. Sticking around. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Okay. No, okay. It's okay, yeah.
Thank you guys for sticking around. Everybody else, these are secrets that we want to tell you for
you're
being
you're still
patient.
Listening. You shouldn't you're be still if you're not listed. Yeah.
They didn't. They shut it off. I trust everybody. So I want to start with Caleb Imes. You think it's Imes or Imes? I-M-E-S. Got to be Imes.
I don't know. Imes cat food is
Imes
I-A-M-S.
Cat food is
best,
yeah.
Okay, so Caleb cat food. My secret is that every show when we open and Brent takes his psycho drink that we make fun of, I'm actually also ingesting whiskey, but it's through... It's an anal ingestion, and I've never the guys don't know.
I was
it.
Wondering
I've never
what those things
them.
Are in your pocket. Yeah,
yeah. I always have like a suppository of whiskey, and then right when the clink and the ding happens,
you just
I go
flex.
And squeeze some whiskey into my butt.
That's that face.
That's why I do it at the beginning of every show.
I thought Dave had the GERD.
No, that was just, it. Yeah, that's indigestion. It. So Caleb, you're the only one aside from people in this room who know that. So I'm glad you found
and
out.
We didn't even know that. So you should feel honored.
No, it's a secret.
Yeah.
It's a secret.
Learn something new every day.
Should I do my other one?
Sure.
So this is the one that I realized in the middle of the show, you know, earlier that I wrote down so I could share it as a secret, which is that at one point my mom
Who's this to?
This is to Heather Golf.
Heather
Golf.
Golf.
Yeah.
Fuck, kind of last name is that?
A golfing last name? So my mom was a breast cancer survivor, and she ended up getting a what I called, even though the nurse didn't think it was funny, I called it a lop it off of me, and my mom thought it was really funny, and that's what she called it as well. And the doctors got really upset that she kept calling it a lop it off of me. But
is that the thing that has to have become an Urban Dictionary like fucking term?
I don't know. Mastectomy?
But
no, lop it off
the of lop it off of me. And it's not just breasts, anything.
Yeah.
Like anything. The lop it off of me could apply to a lot of body parts. But at one point she spent a while with one breast, and my mom and my sister Cynthia were, you know, very healthily endowed in the, they had big breasticles is what I'm saying. And so she had like a big fake half bra. And at one point, we were joking around and saying, wow, mom, so you could like totally steal a ton of stuff by stuffing it in your like empty half bra. And she got this look on her face and said, oh no, I know, I've already done that.
Oh, what? Man. That's right. That's how she was stealing the turkey dinners.
So that's my other secret for Heather Golf. Wow. Is that my mom once stuck something. She didn't say what it was. She stole it by sticking
Your
it.
Your mom
in
was
her,
a fucking thief, Dave.
She stole it by sticking it in her lop it off of me bra.
That's why Dave tries to do so good. He doesn't want to hurt animals. He's like living the pure life because his mom fucked it up for him. See what you do, parents, to your kids.
If God gives you lop it off of me, you fucking shot.
That's right. That's right.
I guess.
I looked it up. It's actually a slang term. It says castration from lop it off of me, pronounced quickly, mimicking the name or other medical procedures involving tissue removal. Gross. Yeah.
So those are my two secrets.
I need to take my dog in for a lop it off of me as an example. That doesn't make any sense.
That's just stupid. That's people are idiots.
All right, so mine, that's a hard act to follow, but I'm fucking pushing through.
You only have one ball, and you steal stuff with the extra space.
I have stuff. Both of them.
I steal USB drives.
I steal USB drives.
Individual grapes. Yeah.
I have both of them, but I steal shit anyway. No, this is for Aaron Patrick. And once again, I just want to make sure that no one else is listening, because I'm super uncomfortable about this. Like, we're supposed to do live shows and stuff, and I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to do it because I have social anxiety so bad. You
That's
know what I mean?
True.
Like, this is true. Like, we're not making this stuff up, and this is why I'm really embarrassed about this. I mean, I'm 39 years old.
Yeah.
And I have social anxiety so bad.
39-year-old woman. We know.
A lot of times when I go, like, you know, Brad invites me over, I've been to Dave's house and stuff, and I always have a backpack. And they're just like, what's up with the backpack, dude? And I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. But finally, you know, only my closest friends actually know what's going on. Like, Brad knows about this, obviously, and Dave knows. My family knows. So, like, Thanksgiving stuff, they just don't bring it up. But I get really nervous. And the truth about it is that inside my backpack, I have a Furby. And it's like a comforting mechanism. Like, it's my Furby from when I was not even little. I got it as a grown ass man because that's when Furbies came out.
Right.
But
you fought a lady in Walmart for the last one.
I did
Christmas.
Have to wait in line for this Furby, and his name's Lawrence. After
is
Chunk,
it a black?
I
Furby?
Named him after Chunk and Goonies. No, he's named after Chunk and Goonies. Obviously, so, you know,
Lawrence.
But it makes me feel comfortable. There's a sense of calm that comes over me when Lawrence and I are together, and it's kind of like a blanky thing. And so I keep him in my backpack, and that's how I deal with my thing. I don't want to take Xanax, and it works for me. So I do it. And Aaron, I hope that you would keep that a secret and not tell anyone else, because
except when we do a live show, they're going to be like, why do you have a backpack on?
Well, I'm not telling that. And I hope Aaron Patrick keeps it to herself.
Don't piss me off. I'll throw it into the fucking crowd.
She will.
I'll throw it to the fucking crowd.
Thank you, Aaron, for keeping that secret for me.
Okay. So, Ty Honart.
Hodor.
We do know a guy named Hodong. I might just call you that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you a secret, but I'm going to tell you what I would do if we were to go out on a date.
How can we?
That's nice.
So, yeah. So Ty.
With Tyler.
With Ty.
Ty.
Yeah. Yeah. So of course I would come pick you up, 'cause I'm a gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'll open the door for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get you in my car. You know, and then we drive to a nice restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite, Taco Bell. I like Taco Bell a lot.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys hear they have French fries? Taco Bell has French fries right now.
What in the fuck are you talking about?
I swear to God, I don't know if it's just test markets, but some Taco Bells have French fries right now.
No.
Yeah.
No, actually, I think more appropriately, I think instead of Taco Bell, I'll actually take you to a nice restaurant. I'll actually spend some money on you, and we're going to go appropriately to Outback.
Okay.
So
that's fancy. I heard they have wine.
Yeah. And they talk like Australians when
they have two forks. There's one for the salad. When they get a salad fork, you know, you stepped it up.
So we're going to eat. We're going to set. I don't set across. I set next to you so that I can caress your leg.
There's going
to
be a blooming onion involved.
Oh, there'll be a blooming onion. All right. So, so I sat next to you so I can caress your leg. And while we eat, you know, I'll get a salad and, you know, I'll get you whatever you want. You know, you can order dessert if you'd like. That's fine.
As long as the caressing continues.
Yeah. I just want to warm.
What happens if Ty doesn't let the caressing happen? You move across the table. Is the date over?
No.
He has to split the check. Like, what's the.
No, we're there together. This is everything's good.
He's not down with caressing.
Everything's good. No? I already went and picked him up. He got in my car. I mean, he's wearing a skirt.
Come on, you see Brad's have you seen, beard and have his you fine seen, ass, and you're not gonna. Yeah, have you can't
seen,
resist.
And have you seen Ty in a skirt? I mean,
I haven't. That might be the problem. I have not. Yeah.
So irresistible. So, you know, then we'll go. I can't go back to the house because of my kids and stuff. You know, so we can't go back to the house. But we'll get a nice hotel room, like a 2-star hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they have a continental breakfast. We won't really be eating breakfast. We're just gonna stay there for a little bit, and then I'll take you back home. But when we get there, if you want something from room service or whatever, you can have that. You know, if you want a burger, you know, you're hungry.
A Toblerone.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever you like.
If it's in the mini fridge, yeah, you can grab it.
If it's in the mini fridge. Yeah, this is a nice hotel room.
Toblerone.
Yeah, it's a nice, a Pierre water. You know, whatever you'd like. And the caressing would continue all night long, all night. Yeah, all it'd be night. A good night. Yeah, it'd be a good night. And then, you know, I'd take you home, drop you off. I'd get the wheelchair out of my trunk.
Because now there's a wheelchair. Because what happened at the hotel?
He got wrecked.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so I'd wheel you up to the door. Knock on the door, your mom would answer. and then I'll come back a week later and pick up my wheelchair.
Yeah. She's like, wait, you didn't give him Pierre-Air
water?
He's allergic to Pierre-Air water.
So
that sounds like a nice day.
Yeah, it's a good day.
You're a gentleman until the wrecking happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know,
neutral.
You got a wreck.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody keep that shit a secret for real, because we will continue to tell you secrets if you're trusted.
Kept, yeah.
They're kept.
So we have no more secrets to tell.
Right.
I'll make new secrets. I'm going to keep doing weird shit. I'm making new secrets every day.
Things are about to get weird on the Sofa King podcast.
All right.
All right. That's it. Don't be retarded.
Chase. Hey, I like a bad doctor. I ain't got no patience.
Yeah.
Listen. Chasing all this paper, chasing.
Yeah.
I'm like a bad doctor, I ain't got no patience.
Yeah.
I'm gonna work for months, I won't take vacation.
Right.
Chasing all this paper, chasing. Chasing all this paper, chasing.
Yeah.
I'm like a bad doctor, I ain't got no patience.
Yeah.
I'm gonna work for months, I won't take vacation. Cause I'm chasing all this paper chase.
I don't care about them other niggas. We come from nothing, they was never with us. Tell Kyle, I love it if they ever get us out of town, pumping with 11 niggas. You want this Cuban, you would never get it. Couple hundred thousand, I'll never spend it. Sneak this and I was never with it. I got money coming, I ain't never tripping. Ferg and your boy on a paper chase. All of these diamonds, they look like a lake. And I'm mixing Margiela with Bave and Ape. I put codeine in the Gatorade. I walk in the club and the bar stop. Can't pronounce what I put out the car. Lie. Emotional niggas be all in they feelings, guess killing they bitch at a soft spot. In the jungle, I got tiger in me. Fake pages, you cannot offend me. Jumping out of foreign from without a penny. Had a hood booger, now I'm out of with me. I go to live on a Sunday, using feature money for the gunplay. I'm driving drunk down a one way. Since I got an F, ain't called one case. East side.
Chasing all this paper, chasing.
Yeah.
I'm like a bad doctor, I ain't got no patience.
Yeah.
I'm gonna work for months, I won't take vacation. Chasing all this paper, chasing.
Chasing all this paper, chasing.
Yeah.
I'm like a bad doctor, I ain't got no patience.
Yeah.
I'm gonna work for months, I won't take vacation.
Yeah.
Cause I'm chasing all this paper. Chasing all this paper, chasing all my work for months. All this money making, fucking on you later while you masturbating. Me and David East finna ruin it. Money smiling like a Richard Porter. Uncle used to pitch the water, gotta meet his quota. I was younger, still in quarter waters. Now my time is colder than a Minnesota. Fuck a bitch, I don't even call her. Who buy a Louis, I don't even spawn her. Fuck niggas, put my money taller. My flow is hotter than a fucking sauna. Live in Harlem like a Frank Lucas. Dennis put a diamond with a two-fist. White and black bitch like Clueless. Montel Will, how we do this? Chasing all this paper, chasing. I'm like a bad doctor, I ain't got no patience. I'm gonna work for months, I won't take vacation. Chasing all this paper, chasing. Chasing all this paper, chasing. I'm like a bad doctor, I ain't got no patience. I'm gonna work for months, I won't take vacation. Cause I'm chasing all this paper, chasing.